May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So sandwiched between our saints and our communion, I'll focus in and keep it brief as my version of brief. But as we think about saints, I remember the honor that we had as a family of gathering for a family reunion in August. My extended family, my mom's family, all gathered down at the lake that's in my parents' community, and had a time as family that we haven't done in a very long time. But that day was a significant day because that day, August 27th, would have been my grandfather's 100th birthday. My grandfather passed just the year before Kylie was born. He almost made it to get to meet one of my kids. But my grandfather that I called Papa, we grew up calling them Grandma and Papa Bubbles because we always blew bubbles in their backyard. That's what the cousins did. And I admit, I think I was in high school before I learned that Bubbles was not their legal last name. They were the Bubbles. They always called them the Bubbles. I thought they were the Bubbles, but they were the Littles. And Norman Harry Little, he was born and raised by a Titanic survivor, my great-grandmother. He was a veteran in the Army in World War II, fighting on the lines. He was a man of God who met his wife not far from here at what doesn't exist anymore, but the Grace Methodist Church in Inglewood. He met my grandmother at an Epworth League meeting, which at the time was the like young adult, young people group of the Methodist Church. He raised his three girls here in Torrance for most of their life until they got moved to Lancaster to follow his job with Rockwell. And my grandfather, I loved this man. My grandfather was a jokester. He always had a joke for you. Always had a joke, always had a way to keep you laughing. They weren't always the most appropriate jokes socially. Nothing inappropriate in language or anything or content, but not necessarily the socially correct, but he always had you laughing. As we were remembering in August, he had nicknames for everybody. He has no Hispanic in him. My dad has no Hispanic in him, but my dad instead of Mike was Miguel, always Miguel. My cousins and I, all of us, we were either Sam or George. Didn't matter, boy, girl, which family we were from, you were either Sam or George. I was Sam, and when we were little, I was like, no, Papa, I'm Stacy. Nope, you're Sam. And eventually, Sam was a name that I liked, and Sam made me think Papa. My grandfather loved to golf, he and my grandmother both, and so at one point in retirement, they decided that golf was going to be their priority, and they moved out to a golf course community in Palm Desert so that they could golf every day, any day they wanted, even when it was 120 degrees out there. But he loved the sport of golf. I remember I took up golf not until he was in the hospital for the last time. And I remember going into his hospital room, and there he was, and so hard to see big, strong Papa in a hospital bed. But I came in, and I was like, Papa, 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 you wouldn't believe it. I took up golf. He's like, oh, I'm so happy for you, Sam. I took up golf. And here he is in the hospital bed, and he's like, now you know how you need to grip your club. I know most people it's like this, but you gotta hook that pinky and your thumb, and that's gonna get you the best grip. And he went on to tell me about his first hole in one, and here was, and I'm imagining with him, and he's talking about it sailing and then rolling and then into the cup and how he felt. And oh, how it saddened me that we would never get to golf together. But we had that golfing moment, and wouldn't you know, my grips got that hook just for Papa. He loved golf. He also is in a rare club because he loved to play the organ. Like our guest organist, Yumi, that we are so glad that you are here today to play our organ. But he always had an organ in his home. I don't know how many people have organs in their home, but Papa had an organ with all these colorful buttons that changed all the horns and the trumpets and the flutes, and we would love to play on it and see what different kinds of sounds could come out of it. But every family gathering, Papa would play the organ. What filled the house wasn't the TV, it wasn't the radio, but so much of the time, it was Papa playing on the organ. The bench was stuffed with organ books, and he would play. And that organ was the soundtrack of our family gatherings, the soundtrack of growing up. And Papa, he's definitely one of my saints that makes me who I am, that I continually remember, tell my kids about, and have him live on in me in some way. But isn't that what today is about? Today is about the day where we honor and remember those that we love the most, that have influenced us and been a part of our lives. Those that we call saints, not because they had to have three miraculous acts that happened and an official title, but saints because these are the people of God who made us who we are, who lived in such a way that we follow. And they are saints because we know where they are today. And I know that this morning's scripture might have been a little confusing with all these blood and goats and priests and doors and all of that, so let me simplify this. Because there's always that wondering, if you don't have faith, of what comes next. When mortal body gives and our life on this earth is done, what happens next? And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is comforting his disciples, which is interesting that he's comforting because he usually spends so much time making you uncomfortable with his words. But here he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus makes us a promise. He makes a promise that today and this place is not the end, but it is just the beginning. And do you hear that? That in that toughest of moment, and that moment when it seems it's the end, Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you to wonder. I'm not going to leave you to figure out the way. But I personally, your Savior, your Lord, your Christ, I will come for you. And where will I take you? I will take you to my Father's house, where I have prepared a room for you. There's a special place just for you, and that is the place you will go." It's interesting to think about that, as we've just had the popularity of the movie Coco. I don't know how many of you saw Coco. I finally had to see it this week for the first time, after seeing how many Halloween costumes were either being Coco or being a skeleton of Dia de los Muertos. And somebody said, I love that all these kids are celebrating it this year for Halloween. And I said, it's because of the movie. And I love when movies do that, when they shine light and bring into coolness, so to say, traditions and cultures, so that not only were we entertained by a movie, but we are educated in our world. And here we're educated about Dia de los Muertos and what it means and what it's about, and it's about remembering. But here in this movie, you have those who have passed to the afterlife, who live in this afterlife city, and they wait each year for their family members to put their pictures on their ofrenda so that they show that they are remembered and they get to come back for the day. And their fear is that their family will forget them, that their picture will go up and nobody will remember them. And when that happens, they disappear into dust and nothingness. And here in the movie, when it happens, your heart just breaks that somebody has been forgotten and they cease to exist. And there's this sadness that comes with this. But I had to sit there as I'm being so sad over this character who isn't even a main character, but is a character in this movie that disappears into nothingness because there's no family left to remember them. And I had to come into a perspective and realize, wait a second, this isn't our belief. This isn't our theology. This is not what Christ has promised. Because what Christ promises is not that we live as long as somebody remembers us and honors us and lights a candle for us and puts a picture up, but we live eternally with Christ. That there is no nothingness that comes. There is no dwindling into an unknown expanse and an end. But Christ says there is eternity. And that for us is good news. That for us is the hope to know that this isn't the end, but that this is just the beginning. Now that doesn't mean we stop remembering. Because this is important. This is what reminds us of who we are, where we come from, who it is that we give thanks and honor to for the life that we have. To be able to thank God for them, but within it to say, God, thank you for this life that shined so bright on this earth, but also thank you, God, that this light continues to shine. And not because of what we've done, but what Christ did for us. For that is what our scripture this morning tells us, that Christ was God who came down to be the final offering for us, to pay the price so that we could have eternity and that we could have it without cost. For God says, I want all of my children in my house. I want every single one of them to live with me forever. And I will do what it takes for that to happen. And so as we remember our saints and we remember them in their room that was prepared just for them by Christ, and that Christ led them to that place of eternal glory with God, we also prepare to come to the communion table to give thanks, and we remember what Christ has done for us. That Christ said, I have eternity, and I gift eternity to you if you will just accept it. And so this morning we give honor and thanks for all who have gone before us, and especially for Christ, who gave his life for ours. For Christ, who paid the price. For Christ, who could not be held by death, and knowing that we will not either. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks on this day that what you offer is not like what this world offers. For everything of this world is temporary. Everything on this world has an ending date. But your love, your grace, your mercy does not. You live on forever, and that is a gift that you offer for us. And while that gift might not be an eternity in this mortal body, but that this mortal body and the spirit within it will be transformed, that it will be clothed in glory, and that it will live with you for eternity. And for that gift, a gift of not seen and unknown, but a gift that is hope of knowing what comes next, we give you thanks. And we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, that made that possible. For Lord, all of this
We humbly accept from you, and we give you our lives in return. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.